Oh, sweet, sweet intro music. That's all we heard the other night while Furries and Brats was live from the Oscars, just sweeping all the categories at the Academy Awards. No, I'm just kidding. I wish we could get an Oscar for this podcast. Hey, maybe someday with all this acting and all that. So, been a few weeks off, but glad to be back. We got a lot to break down. The Oscars were the other night. Of course, we're going to talk about that. It's pop culture. And then NFL free agency. Man, it is going crazy right now. It's going to be a crazy week this week. Already been a crazy 48 hours. And then the college NCAA men's college basketball conference tournaments are starting this week. And they are coming with some automatic bids for March Madness. And then, of course, some other news around the sports world. So before we get started, make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, anywhere you get your podcast at Burgers and Brats, and check out the latest on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Burgers and Brats. So I mean, first let's just start with the Oscars. What happened at the Oscars? It was a pretty good Oscar. Jimmy Kimmel hosting. He did a good job, but I think next year John Mulaney needs to host this thing. He did phenomenal. He's always hysterical, explaining the plot of Field of Dreams, which is a phenomenal movie. So that it was just good overall. I mean, we got I'm Just Ken. We got Ryan Gosling singing that. We knew it was going to be a Barbenheimer type of Academy Awards, but we got some other movies that won some stuff. I mean, Anatomy of the Fall was good. Robert Downey Jr. got his first Oscar. And then it was just a good overall Academy Awards. Christopher Nolan winning his first Oscar. Cillian Murphy also as well. Emma Stone getting another one. But John Cena also. I'm glad Burgers and Brats wasn't accepting our awards dressed as John Cena. That would not have gone well. Only John Cena could pull that off, which is crazy they made him do that. But Godzilla, after about 100 years, finally won an Oscar. Yeah, like 30-plus movies. Hey, kids, follow your dreams. I mean, Godzilla's been making movies for 100 years. And it 33 movies. And he finally won an Oscar in 2024. So don't ever give up on your dreams. But, I mean, we knew this was going to be an Oppenheimer slam. Great movie. Phenomenal movie to watch in theaters. It was just incredible. Cillian Murphy, the whole supporting staff, cast and director, everything. Some of these big ones, Best Picture, Best Original Score, Best Cinematography, Best Film Editing, all won by Oppenheimer. So a lot of awards. And then, I mean, the cast won a lot. We had Best Supporting Actor was Robert Downey Jr. Best Director, Christopher Nolan. Best Actor was Cillian Murphy. And so that's just, I mean, major wins from Oppenheimer and the whole staff. You also, you had some of these other movies. I haven't seen some of these, but Poor Things is supposed to be really good. I've not watched that yet. I'm definitely going to add to that to my list. They get one Best Makeup and Hairstyling and Best Product Design. And then another one that's supposed to be really good is Anatomy of a Fall, which I got to watch that one because of Messi the dog. I don't know if you saw Messi the dog there, but he was clapping his paws as well. He looked great. Phenomenal extending him up to be in the Oscars because, man, he dressed for success. That movie won Best Original Screenplay. And then Emma Stone winning Best Actress for Poor Things. So, got to see those movies. I'm going to have to watch those. Zone of Interest won a few things. Best International Feature Film. Wes Anderson got another win with The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Have not seen that one. And then Godzilla Minus One. Best visual effects. I mean, of course, it's Godzilla. You got to have some great visual effects to bring him to life. One thing I wish Lily Gladstone would have won Best Actress. I think she deserved that. Best Actor, yeah, you get that right. But, I mean, all the women and men nominated, I mean, they well-deserved. I thought Margot Robbie should have been nominated, though, for Best Actress as well, if Ryan Gosling's going to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. So, a little conflict there. But otherwise, great Oscars was really funny. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito come out and go after, oh gosh, I can't remember, Batman, but oh my gosh, the name's escaping right now. Why can't I think? Michael Keaton, going after Michael Keaton, and Michael Keaton just sitting there stone-faced and everything, telling them to bring it back on as they were fighting in Batman. But overall, good Oscars. So Oppenheimer, I mean, stole the show. I think we all knew that was coming. So before I break down the college basketball tournaments, I'm going to be making my predictions for some of the major college basketball tournaments this week. We got, I mean, sports headlines. It's been a minute, so a lot has gone on. And, I mean, just start by shouting out LeBron James, the first ever to 40,000 points. And, I mean, this man has been so consistent. From 0 to 10,000 points, it took him 368 games. From 10,001 to 20,000 points, it took 358 games. From 20,001 to 30,000 points, it took 381 games. And from 30,001 to 40,000, it took 368 games. That is just remarkable. The consistency, the longevity, lay consistency of LeBron James is just incredible. The most games it took for him to get 10,000 points was 381. Every other one was 368 or below. Just incredible. LeBron has now won 68 Players of the Week awards, most all-time by a ton. The next highest is Kobe Bryant at 33, Kevin Durant at 32, James Harden at 26, and Michael Jordan only with 25. So LeBron James, man, baller. And then, of course, shout-out to Caitlin Clark. That woman is a baller. Put her in the NBA. She would dominate in the NBA. I promise you. She passed Pistol Pete Maravich for the all-time NCAA scoring record. 3,685 points. And then also won back-to-back-to-back Big Ten championships with Iowa. And also won MVP in all three tournaments. So, Caitlin Clark. I mean, this girl has been on fire all year. Excited to watch her in the WNBA. All right, so going to the NFL news. It's been a crazy NFL free agency. I mean, stuff is happening. I mean, right now. So I may not have something whenever this podcast comes out. There may be another major trade or something that happened or free agency move. So that could happen, but. Seen a lot of interesting things. I mean, something we knew was going to happen, the Denver Broncos officially cutting Russell Wilson, $89 million cap hit. Oh, that hurts. That hurts as a Broncos fan. And then having to cut Justin Simmons. Oh, it's been a tough few days cutting an all-pro, pro bowler like that. I mean, just a great, great defender, Justin Simmons, so. That sucked, and then losing our quarterback, Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson has now found a home. He has found a home with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Really interesting mix there. I mean, I think he will... He's an okay quarterback. He's definitely way past his prime. Can he win some games? Yeah. Was it just Kenny Pickett's problem in Pittsburgh that's going to get solved? No, there's a lot more problems than just the quarterback play. So he's going to have to step up. Russ had a loaded team, had a pretty solid team with Denver. So he's going to have to definitely do Russ magic. Need some more WrestleMania for them to be successful. He is going to the Steelers on a $1.2 million salary paid by the Steelers. The Steelers are paying their quarterback $1.2 million, while Denver is paying him $38 million. Insane. absolutely insane. So good. I mean, you can't get worse than Kenny Pickett. So it'll be interesting to watch him and Mike Tomlin. Major news on the Super Bowl odds with that. So before Russell Wilson headed to Pittsburgh, the Steelers' odds were plus 7,500. After, get this, stayed the exact same, 7,500. Yep, it does not matter, guys. This does nothing. Really does nothing. So Russell Wilson, though, finding a home, a new home in Pittsburgh. And then shout out to my boy. First, Mike Evans re-signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so that's huge for the Bucs. And I don't think he was going to re-sign if they knew that Baker Mayfield wasn't coming back. And they get Baker Mayfield back on a three-year, $100 million contract, $50 million guaranteed. Shout out to Bake for baking. I mean, bet on yourself and good things happen. So Baker Mayfield getting a three-year deal in Tampa Bay, and I think this is a good Tampa Bay team that I think can definitely make a run. So Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans running it back in Tampa Bay, that's good. I think this team can definitely win the NFC South again next year. There is another team though that is coming up that talk about in a sec, but solid offense. Need defensive help, though. They're going to have to rebuild through the draft or through free agency. They're going to need some help there. And that other team talking about is Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons get Kirk Cousins on a four-year deal, $180 million. They can definitely win the NFC South. I thought this was a little much for Kirk Cousins coming off of an ACL injury. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins is a proven quarterback, but, I mean, he hasn't made a Super Bowl. He usually gets injured halfway through the season, and I really don't know. I think it's a good pickup. It definitely is a good pickup where they can win the division, but I don't think it's going to get you to a deep playoff run, in my opinion. So it's going to be fun seeing him in a new uniform, what Minnesota does. The Bills release literally everyone, including two captains, Poirier and Morris, and then seven total players. So seven total by the Bills to get under that cap hit. That is going to be new faces in Buffalo next year. They got to pay Von Miller. And then other quarterbacks on the move. Mac Jones traded to the Jaguars for a bag of chips. I'm serious, a bag of chips. Mac Jones, who was, I mean, a first rounder 3 years ago, was sent to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a sixth-round pick. I mean, that's just remarkable. It's a good pickup, I think, for Jacksonville. It's not Trevor Lawrence's team, for sure. Mac Jones is going to go in there and compete. I mean, Mac Jones still has some pep in his step. He's still got something in him. And, I mean, looking at the stats, it's a close competition. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, this is a guy, or this is a team, I mean, they did win a wild card game 2 years ago, but they were the heavy favorite to win their division with about, I mean, six games left, and they don't even make the playoffs because they lose so many games in a row. But I mean, Trevor Lawrence has about 900 more career passing yards than Mac Jones. I mean, he's been in the league a little longer. Mac Jones has 41 passing touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence has 40. Mac Jones has 26 interceptions. Trevor Lawrence has 27. Mac Jones has a 66% completion percentage compared to Trevor Lawrence's 63. Mac Jones's QB rating is 88.8 versus Trevor Lawrence's 83.5. And Mac Jones, 17-17 career record. Trevor Lawrence, 13-24. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has a better coach right now. Or Mac Jones is now sent to a better coach. Doug Peterson is a good coach. But it's not just Trevor Lawrence's team. I mean, Mac Jones is going to go in there and fight. And he's definitely got a real shot at winning the quarterback battle. The Green Bay Packers, they make a great move. They sign Josh Jacobs. They get Josh Jacobs from the Raiders. But I was surprised they're going to cut Aaron Jones. They're going to cut Aaron Jones, which is a little surprising. I thought Aaron Jones and, I mean, cap hit, it's going to be cut the cap, but Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs would have been a phenomenal 1-2 punch, but just getting Josh Jacobs will be really good. And staying on the running backs, Austin Eckler is going to the Washington Commanders on a 2-year deal. That's a big loss for the Chargers. I mean, especially a new coach coming in and then possibly cutting Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. So we're going to see what's happening with the Chargers. And then just breaking news right here. Oh, wow. Major breaking news. Joe Mixon is being released by the Cincinnati Bengals. Wow. That's a big loss for the Bengals. Wow. And they are bringing in Zach Moss on a 2-year, $8 million deal. That's huge. That is a major loss for the Bengals. I don't like that at all. Joe Mixon is a phenomenal running back. And that is going to hurt the Bengals' run game for sure. So that's going to be interesting to see who picks up Joe Mixon. That is a great running back to get. And then another great running back that is now on the move, Saquon Barkley, is done with the Giants. He is going to the Eagles, Fly Eagles Fly, on a 3-year, $37.75 million contract. So huge, huge get for the Eagles. I mean, just stay healthy. That's all he's got to do, stay healthy if you're Saquon. And this Eagles team, they're right back in Super Bowl contention after losing DeAndre Swift. So, big pickup for the Eagles. Breaking news, guys. Stuff is going to happen tonight and tomorrow that I'm not going to be able to talk about because it already happened. Or because it happened too late after this podcast. But NFL free agency, it's exciting. I'm excited for it. I'll break it down a little more in the at the end of the week on the next podcast. But that's it in the NFL free agency. All right, before I move on to my college basketball picks, going on this day in history. 1852, Uncle Sam cartoon figure makes its debut in the New York Lantern Weekly. 1894, Coca-Cola sold in bottles for the first time in a candy store in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And then 2020, can you guess this one? COVID-19 declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization. Man, 4 years ago. Crazy. I mean, we all know where we were when everything just shut down. Pretty remarkable stuff. Again, 4 years already. Happy birthday, Daryl Strawberry, Adam Clayton, William H. Macy, and Jack Harlow. That's on this day in history. All right, let's go into some of these big-time conferences, some of these games going on. First, going to start with the West Coast Conference. They've already played a few games. They're in the semifinals right now. So while this podcast is going on, they're in the semifinals right now. It's who I would have picked. I guess not surprising this year, but it's not Gonzaga's conference anymore. They saved their season though. This was a Gonzaga team that was probably not going to make the March Madness tournament. Now they're a top 20 team because they've won eight straight games. Maybe nine after tonight. And they've made March Madness for 24 straight years. So it's probably going to end up being 25 straight years. But remarkable comeback for Gonzaga this year. They, of course, are a top two seed. They're the number two seed. St. Mary's is the number one seed for the second year in a row. Followed by Gonzaga, then San Francisco, 3 seed, Santa Clara at the 4 seed. So it was going to be these 4 teams making it to the semis in the WCC. St. Mary's is facing off against Santa Clara right now, and then Gonzaga faces off against San Francisco. I mean, I'm going the heavy favorites. I'm going St. Mary's and Gonzaga to win these games. And, I mean, why not take Gonzaga? Why not take Gonzaga to win this conference? I mean, that would be 10 straight wins in a row. They know how to win in March. This Gonzaga team knows how to win in March. And it's still, I mean, it could not be their conference after tomorrow, it could be St. Mary's for the future. But I think I'll give me Gonzaga. I'll take the Zags to continue winning the WCC. All right, let's go into the Pac-12 now. Pac-12, I mean, it's got some decent teams. It's not the Big Ten or the Big 12, and maybe some would argue the ACC, but I mean, it's third or fourth. This tournament is going on from the 13th through the 16th, so Wednesday through Saturday. And Arizona won the final Pac-12 regular season title. That's it, guys. We're saying bye to the Pac-12. We're saying bye to the Pac-12. It is sad to see it go. Arizona getting that win. Caleb Love has been balling for the Wildcats. Just absolutely tearing it up for them. There is a lot of parity in this conference, I think. It's mainly a 1-2-3 race. One seed Arizona, two seed Washington State, which had a chance at being the one seed, ended up losing late those last games. And then Colorado, three seed, four Oregon. But I mean, all these teams have been pretty decent and have some history in the March Madness. I mean, USC is a 9 seed with Bronny. Washington's 8. UCLA is usually a top seed in the March Madness. They're a 5 seed in the Pac-12. So, it is a lot of parity. I think any team can kind of sneak in. I mean, you know what they say, Pac-12 after dark also applies to the basketball schedule. Colorado, a 3 seed, I think they can be a really good pick at winning this game or this tournament. I mean, they don't have to play Arizona until championship. They do play Washington State, which faulted lately, but they got a lot of motivation for March Madness, because right now they're on the bubble. Right now they're on the bubble for March Madness. This team is shooting 40% from three. That is fifth in the NCAA. KJ Simpson leads the team in every single category. So rely heavy on KJ. I mean, you stop KJ, you're probably going to shut this Colorado team down, but they got a lot riding on winning at least two games in this tournament. Washington, the number two seed, I mean, they kind of sold the regular season title, but they're still a solid team. They're still a really good team. Washington, Colorado in the semis would be incredible basketball. That would be really fun to watch. These two high offenses, and it would be come down to the last possession game, especially that would help your March Madness hopes incredibly. It's probably likely they're going to be in the semis, but Washington State beat Arizona twice this year. They beat them twice and still end up getting second in the conference. Colorado, they've only got two double-digit losses. That's it. That's hard to do in college basketball. It's just so different every week, on or off, and going to other opposing gyms, but only two double-digit losses. USC, I think, is a good long shot at number 9 with Bronny. I mean, they do have to play Arizona the second game in the quarterfinals if they win. But, I mean, they beat Arizona in the final regular season game. Yeah, USC beat Arizona in the final regular season game. So, Arizona is second in the nation in scoring. 90 points a game. That's a lot in college. That is a ton of points in college. This Arizona team is a heavy favorite, just like they have been the last few years, to go, I mean, deep run into March Madness. So, keep a heavy eye on this Arizona team in the Pac-12 tournament. Oregon State, I think they're a really good long... They're probably the best long shot at 12. They can be, I mean, 12 over 5, guys. 12 over 5. And then you get to play Oregon, which I think a team you can beat. That's a rivalry game. Anything can happen in that one. Could beat UCLA. It's not great basketball until the quarterfinals, but I think the quarterfinals will give us some really good matchups and really show who is that good in the Pac-12 and which teams can make a run deep into March Madness. It's probably a three-team race, though, between Arizona, Washington State, and Colorado. Colorado, six-game win streak, ride them high. Give me Arizona, though, defeating Colorado in the Pac-12 championship. The Wildcats over Deion and the Buffalo. Get Deion out there. Maybe he'll coach him to a championship victory. Probably not. They didn't even make a bowl game. So, all right, let's go into the AFC. Tennessee winning the regular season title. Could be a overall one seed in this one, and they're playing phenomenal. This tournament going on from Wednesday to Saturday as well, until Sunday. The number one through four seeds don't even play until Friday, the quarterfinals. Yeah, this is a big conference. They're not playing until Friday. Crazy break. So, how will that impact these teams coming out shooting the ball? Will they be rusty? Will they be cold? Or will they be well-rested? It's probably also a three-team race in this one with Tennessee, Kentucky, and Bama. I'm not discrediting Auburn, but I mean, you win one game and then you got to play Tennessee or an LSU team that can put up some points. So I don't see them. They just have a harder time getting to the championship and everything. So Auburn, yeah, in their bracket, they either get South Carolina or Arkansas, it looks like. I think Arkansas beats Vanderbilt. But Arkansas or South Carolina could be a win, could be a tough test. I think it might be a tough test for them. So they got the worst of the draw. I mean, obviously as a four seed. But Arkansas, I think they're a very good long shot. If you're going to bet on a long shot to win, I think Arkansas might be your best. I mean, that's a 12 seed, so you're going to get a lot of money back on that one. Missouri, do not bet on them. They're 0-18 in conference. Don't bet on Missouri. That's just Missouri sports. They're not very good. Tennessee's Dalton Knecht, 20 points a game and 40% from three. Woo! Shut this man down, but you can't. This man is wet. He on fire. Florida could be a dark horse as well. Number six seed. They have the number 14 overall offense in the NCAA. They've had huge wins during the year. Pullen and Clayton, I think, will ball out for them. And they've got to play, I mean, they either get to play Missouri, who hasn't won a conference game, or Georgia in their first game. And then get to play Bama, which almost lost to Arkansas on the road, or at home this week. So, I mean, definitely possible for Florida as a kind of small dark horse to make the semifinals. That's a kind of a team that you're like, all right, yeah, not too long of a shot that could win it. Don't see many upsets, though. I mean, who knows? It's college basketball. It's March. Anything can happen. There might be one in the quarterfinals. Maybe a South Carolina or Arkansas beats Auburn, or maybe a Florida beats Alabama. But I think the top four should probably advance. Kentucky, Tennessee, I think, easily should be in the semifinals, 100%. Tennessee should make it to the championship game, 100% in this thing. Kentucky's been there so much. Calipari knows how to win. Give me Tennessee. Give me the Vols to take down Kentucky in the SEC championship. All right, let's head to the Big East. Some of the most fun basketball in college. I mean, dominated, just absolutely dominated by the defending national champions, UConn Huskies. This tournament going on from the 13th through the 15th. Not many days at all. Or sorry, the 16th, 13th through the 16th. I mean, the UConn, phenomenal, defending national champions. They're the number one seed. They went. They cooked. Great historic matchups. I mean, you got Seton Hall, St. John's, Creighton, Marquette, DePaul, Villanova, Georgetown, Providence, Xavier, Butler. I mean, UConn, every single one of these teams, all 11 of these teams are just phenomenal basketball history. And upsets can happen in this one because, I mean, just such good basketball. And it's going to be so much fun to watch. Creighton, they got the tiebreaker versus Marquette. So Creighton is the number two seed, Marquette the number three seed. UConn, they get to face either Butler or Xavier. I mean, that's just going to be a great matchup as well. I mean, 8 and 9 versus 1, but still, that's going to be a great. UConn, two losses in the conference, came to Seton Hall and Creighton. You have to play Seton Hall if Seton Hall wins versus St. John's. But, I mean, otherwise, you could not play them at all. You could not play them, and you could possibly not play Creighton at all either. So, until the championship game. So you could face Seton Hall, could not face Creighton. It's going to be fun to see. So lucky there, they don't have to play those guys. But Creighton has won 7 of their last 8. So this team is hot. This team is hot right now. Wouldn't face UConn until the finals, like I just said. Villanova and Providence on the out in Lenardi's bracket. Villanova, a 6 seed right now. I mean, win in the first round, beat Marquette in the quarterfinals, go to the semis, beat Creighton, I think you're in. Providence, it could be hard. You got to beat Georgetown, and then you got to go beat Creighton. So anything can happen in the Big East, but those are who those teams face, and they are currently out, according to Joe Lenardi's prediction. Both should make it to the second round, though, in my opinion. Marquette, you got to be careful. I mean, Villanova in the second round. Villanova is a great team. They know how to win. They've done this in March many of times. And Villanova, they are hungry because they need wins. So Creighton, Marquette, you gotta be careful, because the teams you're going to be facing are teams that are going to be hungry and needing a win to have their seasons continue into March. Could be a lot of upsets. I really do think this conference can be a lot of upsets. And I'm excited to watch this conference. This is going to be so much fun. UConn, though, I mean, clear favorite. UConn is the clear favorite in this one. I like Creighton's schedule a little better, depending seeing how it all goes. Marquette could take a loss, I think. But UConn easily advances to the final. And I'll go Creighton. They're on a hot streak right now. I think they make it to a championship game as well. But give me UConn defeating Creighton in Madison Square Garden. All right. Let's go to the ACC. This one, guys, there's not much debate. This is probably the worst conference in basketball. I mean, you do have the two top-heavy teams, though. You have two top-heavy teams. Otherwise, it's not great basketball. We can skip all this. Notre Dame is obviously playing in the ACC tournament. 12 seed, I mean, not great. One, North Carolina, they won the regular season tournament, got that win at Duke, which was awesome. Duke, the number 2 seed. 3, Virginia, and 4, Pittsburgh. North Carolina is going to have to face Virginia Tech or Florida State, should advance, and then play possibly Pitt in the semifinals. No problem there. I think North Carolina easily makes it to the championship game. Duke, a little tougher. They're going to have to probably face Syracuse in their first game. And then Virginia's got to face probably Boston College or Miami, and then they'll play Clemson. So they'll probably play Clemson, and then Virginia-Duke, that'll be a good game. I'll give Duke the upper hand on that one. So I really don't see top teams losing in this one. I mean, it's wide open to get to the quarterfinals. We'll go with that. To get to the quarterfinals to play the top 4 teams, open. But after that, it's not open at all. It's North Carolina versus Duke in the championship game. Give me North Carolina, guys. I mean, they're a top, 3 team in basketball right now. Pretty remarkable stuff. And be on the lookout. I mean, this North Carolina team can go far. Both Duke or North Carolina can go far. Watch how they play the ACC tournament. It'll be a big test for March Madness. All right, and then the Big Ten, the second best conference in basketball, as most would say. Dominated by Zach Edey. I'm not gonna draw too much into that, because I picked them to win, or picked them to go far last year, and they lose to a 16 seed. So I'm not putting all my chips with Purdue right now. They still gotta win me back a little bit, but they won the regular season for the second year in a row. Heavy favorite to win the tournament as well. Gonna probably be the number 1 overall seed. I mean, they're 28-3. Overall, or not the number 1 overall seed, but I mean a top. They're gonna be a 1 seed. One of the favorites to win the tournament. 28-3, number 3 in the rankings, AP rankings right now. It really is a 1 team race. It is a 1 team race with Purdue and Edey. Maybe the Illini can knock them off in the championship game, but they're going to face a Nebraska team that is pretty good. A Nebraska team that beat Purdue. And Purdue and Illinois are going to, or Nebraska and Illinois are going to face in the semifinals. So one of them will get a chance at Purdue, but no one's beating Purdue, guys. This is just a crapshoot. Who knows what's going to win? Who knows what's going to happen? But give me 1, 2, and 3 at least advancing to the semis. Give me Purdue all the way winning it. I don't care who they face. It does not matter. Purdue is winning this thing. Don't even need to break down the rest of the Big 12, Big Ten. No. Illinois, I think Illinois, they've had some disappointment in the past few years in March Madness as well, picking them to go kind of far. But they have not done it. I mean, they're only one of four teams to have 20 wins in five straight seasons. They're one of only four teams. Nebraska had their best ever finish in the Big Ten since they've joined the conference. And then Northwestern, team that has been around for 3,000 years. They're the number four seed, 12-8. That is tying their best finish ever. Incredible. Big Ten teams, they got to look strong. Purdue's got to just dominate this thing. Illinois, Nebraska, you just got to dominate these games for your March Madness victories and get the hype train going for them. But that is a Big Ten, I think. It's Purdue's. No one else is touching it. All right, it doesn't matter. But Purdue defeating Illini in the championship game. All right, best conference in basketball, the Big 12. Houston, first year in the Big 12, and they get the first year regular season champs. They took it away from Kansas. They snatched that chain off of Kansas. Kansas, all they do is win. All they do is win the conference. No, not this year. Well, maybe. Kansas, they always share something. So they could win this tournament, and definitely think that's a high possibility. But they have not been that same Kansas team that we've seen the last few years. This is a deep league. I mean, they've got five teams in the top 15, two in the top eight, six top 25 teams, five in the top 20. Best conference, deep league. Anyone can make a run, I think. It is anyone's conference to win this tournament. I do think Houston is obviously the best team in the conference, but Iowa State, I mean, underrated. They're a two seed right now. They are a top, I believe, top seven team. Maybe top eight team in the according to the AP right now, and they're getting no love for this. They're incredible. Baylor is a three seed. They're a top 15 team. Remarkable. They're no bad matchups, especially in the second round. Second round, I mean, you get a UCF BYU, a five seed BYU. BYU coming in, they are a five seed. Probably a Texas versus Iowa State, a 7-2. In the quarterfinals, another Oklahoma versus Houston rematch, or a Houston versus TCU, Oklahoma team that had a chance at winning against Houston. Houston won on the last second buzzer beater, and then a Kansas versus Baylor in the quarterfinals. Oh my goodness, this is just incredible stuff. Big 12 basketball is amazing. Baylor's a team that can definitely make a run here. They're an underrated team. They're a three seed, but they're still an underrated team. No one's talking about them. Kansas obviously is a six seed. Guys, this is Kansas basketball. This is Bill Self we're talking about. He's not going to lose in March. I mean, yeah, they're going to have to play Baylor, and then Iowa State, and then beat Houston to win the Big 12. But, I mean, that's doable. That's a Kansas team. That's just a gauntlet, guys. That's two top 15 teams, or that's three top 12, 15 teams that they're gonna have to face in 3 days. Yeah, that's incredible for the Big 12. A team that I think could make a run also, I think BYU as a 5 seed could do it. But, I mean, if you're looking like 7 and above, Texas probably could. They defeat Iowa State. I think they could beat a Baylor or Kansas. I mean, they could keep it closer as a Baylor or Kansas, especially with how Brock Cunningham is playing right now and Max Asmus. But those are some of these teams. Texas Tech's a four seed. I haven't talked about them. They're a top 20 team. Haven't even talked about them as a four seed. So this is wide open. I think Houston, oh, man, it's tough. I mean, Houston probably plays Texas Tech. Iowa State, I don't know. Why not go Kansas? I mean, all I've known is Kansas at least winning a share of the Big 12. So give me Houston They'll beat Tech. Kansas beats Baylor. Maybe Iowa State fumbles against Texas. Kansas wins. Give me Houston versus Kansas in the Big 12 championship. Why not? This is a great rematch. Top teams of duking it out in the championship game. Why not? Give me Houston. Looking to win regular season and postseason in the first year of the Big 12. Obviously, KU's a pretty big underdog pick right here. I mean, it's Kansas, but they're 6 seeds, so I want my dues when it happens. I'm not betting against Kansas, guys. That's hard to do. I've seen them. I've seen what happens. This tournament starts today, Tuesday. It goes till Saturday, so they got a deep conference as well. All right, that's my college basketball picks for the week. I'll be back this week to kind of see how we're doing and seeing who's going to be making the championship games. Bank on picks for that. Let me know who you guys have in your championship games, your conference. It's conference tournament weekend, and we are less than a week away from Selection Sunday. Less than a week away. It's here, baby. March Madness is here. All right, let's go into my final segment, who I'm sharing my burger and brat with. Share my burger and brat with a report from Wallet Hub, reporting the happiest cities in America. So this looked at cities that provide the best conditions for residents to optimize mental and physical well-being, as well as income and employment. Number one city on here. I mean, can you guess which state, guys? I mean, this state swept. This state has 7 of the top 20 cities. It's California. Number one city, Fremont, California. Located in the San Francisco Bay Area. Another state that kind of took me by surprise, you had North Dakota with 2 cities. I was not expecting that to come in. The number 2 overall city for the happiest city in America, Overland Park, Kansas. A little surprising there. 3, San Jose. 4, Madison, Wisconsin. And then you have number 6, Honolulu. Who doesn't want to go live in Honolulu? I mean, that's an easy one. I'm surprised that's only top 6 right there. Number 10, Scottsdale, Arizona. Arizona, great weather, beautiful golf. Yeah, get that one top 10. Number 11, this one's a little surprising. Sioux Falls in South Dakota. Yeah, I said that right. Hey, South Dakota. Number 13, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number 15, San Diego, the Anchorman. And then number 18, Seattle. And number 19, Lincoln, Nebraska. So those are kind of some of your top 20 cities for the happiest in America based on employment, income, mental and physical well-being. So if you're looking to move, look at some of these top 20 cities to move to. I'm sure some of them will pay you to move there. That's how it works nowadays. All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Crazy free agency stuff. More going on this week. And then I'll be back breaking down the Players' Championship coming up this week. Tiger Woods will be making his return after a month off to play in that. You got some live guys coming back. And then college basketball. I mean, we're hitting it. NBA also. I'll be breaking down NBA games next week as well. But thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow the podcast on any platform, any streaming service, literally anywhere. Get your podcast at Burgers and Brats. And stay up to date with the places on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at Burgers and Brats. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Stay safe.